everybody. Welcome to this month's edition of Real Geeks. I am, of course, your host, Mike Montgomery. And to my left is Paula. And since Trevor is, of course, still trapped on baby duty, seriously, I'm never letting this joke go, ever.
Well, you might have material for like the next 18 years.
That's the thing about babies. Hey, if nothing else, the baby is making my life as host a lot easier. So instead, we are joined by the host of local radio show and still podcast, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I do research, I swear. Felix.
Yes.
And so, can you maybe take like 10 seconds and give us a quick rundown on what Square Wave Symphony actually is?
Sure. I'm also known as Coolio on the show, with a K. Anyway, Square Wave Symphony is basically a show where I talk about video games, chiptunes, all things weird and geeky. I play chiptunes. I try to be a fun show.
Cool. And so this month we are finishing our Disney Fest with the live-action remake that nobody was really looking for.
Exactly.
Which was Disney's Aladdin. I feel like if you've watched movies at all, I really should not have to explain the plot for this one. It's the standard boy meets girl, boy falls in love, shenanigans ensue because he thinks he doesn't have to, he can't be himself in order to have a relationship with her. Basically, most 90s Disney animated movies.
And to quote a Disney movie, it is a tale as old as time.
God bless you, public domain. And so the movie starts with Mina Masood, I think his name is, as Aladdin, who is... I don't think this is his first film role, but it might be close to it because I had never previously heard of the guy. The Pink Ranger is Jasmine, which...
That's why she looked familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, everybody's favorite casting choice. Oh, Will Smith as the genie slash mariner narrator that opens and closes the movie that kind of didn't really need...
No, but they were trying to wrap it up and have it bookend.
Yes.
So, I mean, Robin Williams did the peddler and the narrator, and that's taking the same place as the peddler. So.
Yeah, and as much as overall I did enjoy the movie, I my main issue was that there was padding that didn't really need to be there.
Oh, you mean as when he was the mariner?
Things like the mariner. I felt like you could have taken that out.
Yeah, because I mean,
and it would have been fine, and Will Smith would not have had to try to do an Arabian accent. As dude, I'm sorry.
Considering Mina is Egyptian born, but he grew up in Markham, Ontario. He didn't have an accent in the movie, and neither did is it Naomi Scott?
Yeah.
Okay, she didn't really have a discernible accent either, but hey, at least they weren't white.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as much as those are of course my general thoughts, what did you guys think?
First of all, you have to walk into the theater knowing that this is not Robin Williams.
Exactly.
This is not the Robin Williams version. You cannot fault Will Smith for not being Robin Williams.
No.
They are two separate movies, and you have to enjoy them for their own stories and their own telling and their own casting as they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, no matter what the Disney marketing department will tell you, this is not the same genie.
Nope. And having said that, I really enjoyed the movie. I loved it. The costuming, oh my god, the costuming was just drool worthy. Simplicity, McCall's, all of those companies, I'm sure, will have the patterns momentarily.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. The sets, the CGI, the carpet ride. There's so much of the movie that did an amazing homage to the animated version. There were some deviations, not a whole lot. But overall, it was money well spent. It was time well wasted. And I would totally go see it again, not only in theater. I would get the DVD. I would go see it in theater again. And for me, that is the indicator of how much I enjoyed a movie. Would I be willing to sit for 2+ hours in a theater, having paid for a ticket, again? And this is one of those ones that I would say, yes, I would definitely go see it in theater again.
Just considering that it is a live-action remake of a classic movie, if I wasn't doing this review, I probably would have gone to see it. I am glad that I went to see it.
Yeah, as I've said several times in past reviews, when this was first announced as being a Guy Ritchie movie, this was right after King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which, as I've also said a few times, was hilariously not good. So I put this version of Aladdin on our schedule specifically because when I first heard the announcement, what popped into my head was a line from Gene Hackman in Enemy of the State.
You're either incredibly smart or incredibly stupid.
That's a clip that just keeps popping into my head for things like this, where like this is either going to go really well or really badly.
And as I was telling Felix earlier, I feel that if Will had tried to emulate Robin Williams, it would have been bad.
Oh yeah.
Like he was definitely trying to emulate the genie character, but he wasn't trying to be Robin Williams.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Like when you hire Will Smith for a role, you're doing it for one of two reasons. It's either because he believes in the project and is really committed to the character, so from there you get something like, say, Ali. Mm-hmm. Or you're hiring Will Smith to get Will Smith.
Because he's Will Smith, yeah.
And that's where you would get things like, you know, Men in Black, Suicide Squad, and Independence Day, and so forth. Like, Will Smith was not in Suicide Squad to play Deadshot. He was there because he's Will Smith. Like I said, the Disney marketing, guys. What the hell were you thinking?
There was so much from a movie that they actually could have put into the trailer to make the trailer look better.
Most of the trailers were not really a problem. They were, like, you saw enough, like, you got hints of A Whole New World, which was probably, at least visually, if nothing else, the best number in the movie.
Yeah, and that's the carpet ride. So, yeah, that was a stunning piece.
Oh, yeah. Since I don't know how to go further without doing it, I'm going to put the spoiler warning in right now. But they released about a minute of the Prince Ali number. And
we literally, because you had mentioned that it was out.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so we have to watch this. So we switched YouTube over to the TV, and it got as far as Prince Ali, Ali Ababwa, and my daughter went, nope, and she turned it off. And I went, but I have to, oh, fine, I'll go upstairs and watch it. So it was, the trailer didn't entice me enough to go watch the movie. If I had to rely just on the trailer, I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have stopped releasing material before that clip, because for the first half of the Prince Ali number, Will Smith, frankly, sounds like me on karaoke night back in 2001. It was bland.
It was flat.
Lifeless. So I'm in the theater, and the movie opens with Will. At this point, we don't know that he's still the genie. So we think he's doing, like, two characters, and he's a mariner father about to tell his kids a story, which is the story of Aladdin. Mm-hmm. So, and then from there they go to the opening credits. He's doing the Arabian Nights number, and I'm in the theater like, where was this?
Yep.
Apparently Will Smith actually can't sing. Disney doesn't want you to know that beforehand. Like, I had jokes about how bad this was going to be in terms of his performance.
And you couldn't use any of them.
I was prepared to sing Prince Ali myself, specifically to show that I could out that even I would have been a better choice than Will Smith. And I'm in the theater like 5 minutes into the movie going, what the where did this come from?
Yep.
How did you not put out a clip of this? But like aside from Will, I mean, like I said, as soon as you actually see him promoting, it's like, yes, they're actually letting Will be Will.
Yep.
And that was the thing too, is I was looking at trivia with Paula, and Will felt like there was basically no hip hop representation in any Disney movies, so he felt there would be a kind of a fresh addition to this movie.
Well, I mean, he had to be himself.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like I would hope that they did with him the same thing that the animated version did with Robin Williams, where it was literally they put Robin in a recording studio and just let him go.
The genie a la Robin Williams is very much, to me, reminiscent of Good Morning Vietnam. It's literally just put him into a room, hit record,
yeah,
let him go.
Oh yeah, particularly with his role as the genie, where there's apparently like 16 hours of unrecorded or unanimated, I think, material. I think it's just the audio.
16 hours.
Oh,
well,
he could go to that degree.
Robin Williams, and it's a kids' movie.
I was just gonna say, 90% of those 16 hours is apparently not usable by Disney.
Yes, yes, I would assume that's a big part of the issue. But okay, so the other actors, Mina Massoud.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like, it would not surprise me at all if he's very much into parkour before he got the role. Because all of the scenes where you see Aladdin jumping from, like, you know, rooftop, and he did all of that. I'm assuming he wore a harness and there were safety nets,
you would think.
Yeah, but no, he captured that really well. And the voice on Jasmine, Naomi Scott,
yeah,
has got a set of pipes.
Holy crap!
Oh,
yeah. People are more than likely going to forget that she was the Pink Ranger. Which, as much as there was nothing really wrong with that movie, I don't think that's necessarily the role that you want to have really defining your career.
Yeah.
Like, did she? Tremendous set of pipes.
Oh, yes.
And
they gave her a couple of songs, and they did well in giving her a couple of songs.
Yeah.
And if you're following what's happening, particularly in the States right now, in terms of women's rights issues, pretty much every number Jasmine has in the movie,
yeah,
those songs are going to be used again, because they fit, frankly, just about as well as using Princess Leia's likeness in like posters and promotional material and so forth.
I mean, in that same regard, there are a couple of instances in the original Aladdin where Jasmine was unnecessarily sexualized.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen in this movie.
No. I'm pretty sure anyone who had actually tried to sexualize this Jasmine was getting punched.
I
by Jasmine!
Yes, very much so. I
mean,
there's the scene where Ali shows up and he's bumbling over anything that he could possibly say.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Anything that could come out wrong was coming out wrong. And she, A, put him in a spot, and B, walked away. So, yeah. I like this version of Jasmine.
Oh, yeah.
Also makes for a good leader.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And they were very much setting her up as that. She clearly wants to be the next Sultan. And Disney, I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure the title for her would be Sultana?
No? We looked it up.
Oh,
I actually did a Google search on the definition of Sultana.
Okay.
And it is the wife or concubine of the Sultan.
I withdraw my objection.
So the role of leader is Sultan, and then Sultana is the female appendage thereof. So yeah, so I don't know if that would flip if she had a husband. And like, I don't think that they would call him the Sultana, but you know.
Sultano.
With that definition, I'm kind of hoping that they would. It's funny, I'm sorry. Casting wise, I think the only issue that I really had was Jafar.
he didn't have as much teeth as the animated version did.
No. He was the one that even, again, as soon as we were seeing him in the trailers, people were going, really?
Yeah.
That the best you can do?
Although apparently members of the production team were calling him Hot Jafar.
I could see why.
He didn't have the same schmooze that the animated version
had.
I
could see why they would be calling him Hot Jafar. It's like, yeah, he is an attractive man. That works against the character.
Not necessarily.
Well, I mean, Jafar, I think you shouldn't be looking at him and be kind of immediately kind of like wanting to like him.
But that's just it. That's where the schmooze from the animated version comes in, because he gets your confidence first. And then once you're in his camp, he starts to shift things and, you know, sleight of hand. And very much people will like somebody better or will follow them better if they're attractive. This has been proven time and time again.
Yeah.
I would agree. The problem is that, A, I didn't get that from him.
No, because he didn't have enough schmooze.
No. And B, there is a point where Jafar, in the story, where Jafar should be menacing. Even toward the end, when he gets turned into a genie himself, he's not that scary.
No.
And
he's the kind of guy that you would expect. And this is part of what Jafar does. I mean...
Yeah.
He would throw a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get his way, which is what he does throughout the whole movie, you know, banging his staff down on the floor, which of course activates the magic in the staff. But that's the impression that you get. If I don't get my way, I'm going to hold my breath and throw, you know, start throwing things like a 2-year-old. So again, he doesn't have that schmooze. He doesn't have that manipulation that I came to appreciate in the animated version.
And it's also kind of in the voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's absolutely the voice, because I look at him and I can't help but think, Disney, you have the money to bring Mark Strong in. I know this is slightly typecasting, but come on! Another thing here is the direction of this film. Apparently someone finally sat Guy Ritchie down and explained where to properly use slow-mo in your movie. Because... as much as slow-mo is pretty much a directing staple for him, he tends to overdo it, like Quentin Tarantino overdoes the use of the N-word.
Oh, I don't understand that reference.
You are better off. But the only spot where Ritchie really uses the slow-mo here is when Jafar has figured out that Prince Ali is Aladdin, has him tied up in the chair,
yep,
and is basically doing the Aladdin equivalent of a Salem witch trial.
And literally.
Yeah.
You'll either die and you were Aladdin, or the genie will save you and we'll all know that you're not actually Ali.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he ends up, of course, shoving him out the window, and that's when the slow-mo kicks in, and that actually looked really good.
Yes.
And that was pretty much the only point in this movie where the slow-mo would really work. Another thing with him was the direction in the musical numbers, which, and I didn't expect this from him, it could be problematic in places. There were points, because like there were points, particularly in Aladdin's first song, mm-hmm. It seemed like he was speeding up the footage just a little bit.
Yeah, I did notice that, and that was a bit distracting.
Yeah, exactly. It gave it a stutter that would pull me out for a moment.
Yeah, because physically they're actually stilted and moving quickly, but the song hasn't changed things.
Right.
So, yeah, it was weird.
But on the other hand, there were numbers like A Whole New World, where I'm pretty sure that's where 3/4 of the CG budget went.
Probably.
Which, if there's one spot you're going to spend most of your money, that was rightfully it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an iconic scene.
Exactly.
And you, I mean, the animated version, they pretty much did that, but better.
Will Smith like the first half of Prince Ali was really not good in any way.
Right up to where they cut it off in the trailer. Yeah. Then it gets good.
Yeah.
In the trivia, the very first thing that he recorded was Friend Like Me. And he recorded it as soon as he met the composers.
Yeah, the first day.
Very first day.
And now that you mention that, this is the part where, when I'm editing, I'm going to cut to the stinger that was at the end of our review for Alita Battle Angel. I want a hip-hop version of Never Had a Friend Like Me.
If Will Smith does not bring out a song to go with this movie, I will be... Will, I'm looking at you. You have to. If you don't, I will be very disappointed. We're going to have a talk. Just because.
We're demanding a new Wild Wild West. The song, not the movie. I need to clarify that for the sake of my credibility. So, we specifically said when we were talking about Aladdin at that point that we wanted, presumably for different reasons, for them to just go full on nuts, and where Will Smith was once upon a time known for recording title tracks for every movie he was in. Mm-hmm. We wanted a Will Smith hip-hop version of A Friend Like Me, and when the credits on this started rolling in the theater, and I hear it's Big Will and DJ Khaled, I literally went, thank God! We called this song about 3 months ago, and I, as you can see, I am so damn happy because I kind of almost wish that they had used that version of A Friend Like Me in the actual movie.
Yeah,
that would be a bit out of place, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, they were, I think, still trying to stay truer to the animated version for the fans.
Yeah.
My only major complaint about the movie is there wasn't enough Bollywood in it. But again, that would have detracted from trying to stay true to the original.
Yeah.
Dancing was good, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. There should have been more of it.
Well, there's already more dancing than the original song.
This is true. And again, like there were a couple of deviations that were acceptable and appreciated. There should have been more Bollywood. There's not enough Bollywood in American TV.
Fair enough, I don't think it needed specifically more Bollywood, because again, where would you put it and still stay true to the animated version, because you would still have to squeeze the songs from the animated version into this movie. But what they did do was, like you said, like very, very well done. And I was frankly concerned going in that I would be coming out saying that the best American Bollywood that I've seen was on an episode of DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Wait a sec, is this a Bollywood musical number?
You bet your ass it is.
Saw that recently.
And if you can't top the CW,
yep,
that's a problem. But thankfully, the Dinner at the Palace Bollywood number alone was so well choreographed that I wish that they had trusted the choreography instead of playing with the footage and possibly putting in CG. Because there were points where I saw that slight stuttering in the film speed that I had mentioned earlier.
Well, and how much of that was film speed, and how much of that was Minamus? I mean, he was actually...
Yeah, I just wish that Guy Ritchie had trusted his actors more. But if nothing else, that early part, like his kind of more jerky motions as the number starts, was better than everything we saw in Venom.
Fair. Very fair.
So I think this is probably the best point to go to ratings, really.
I would give it a solid 4, probably a 4 and a half. Like I said, I could easily go back and see it in theater. I would like to buy the DVD. Would I enjoy watching it play repeatedly in my household with children running around? I don't know if I would go that far, which is why I'm not giving it a 5. But definitely a 4 and a half.
Yeah.
That seems about fair, yeah. 4. Because it, like I said, it's not a movie that I would necessarily have gone to see just on the merit that it's a live action remake, but I'm very glad to have seen it. I enjoyed it, and yeah.
I would actually be probably a 4 as well. There were points where the highest I could have gone was 3.5, but a lot of the musical numbers were good enough to almost carry the movie themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Masood and Naomi Scott were great together on screen.
They really did. Like, props to them. They did a really good job with the characters.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the issues for me come down to the fact that the CG stumbles in places, and where there are a lot of studios where we could excuse that, this is Disney. And a lot of the secondary stuff, and this is actually a problem with most of the live-action remakes that they're doing in general. They could have cut every other secondary plot point, kept just that one. And if the director had had if Guy Ritchie had had more faith in his actors, then I probably could have gone to 4.5 or a 5. So with that. Join us next month as we basically hold a funeral for the Fox Marvel Universe.
Oh, come on!
No, I'm dead serious. And say farewell with X-Men Dark Phoenix, where we figure out whether or not the man who wrote X-Men Last Stand has finally learned his damn lesson. Because for some reason... And let the same man do both movies. Since we're a little short on time, this will be the express wrap-up. So, Paula, you have about 10 seconds to tell people where they can find you outside of here.
Outside of here, wow. Okay, so my next big show, I'm so excited. I'm going to be at Montreal Comic Con again as a vendor. Yay, this is my second year. Website, outofthebroomcloset.ca. Social media, I'm on Twitter, at symbol OOT Broom Closet. Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram. Find me anywhere, pretty much. I'm easy to find. If you see the witch with the fourth doctor scarf, that's me.
And Felix, where can people listen to Square Waves? Thank you. I refuse to cut because this is funny.
So Square Wave Symphony, you can listen if you're in Halifax, you can listen on 88.1 FM CKDU. That's on Fridays at 5. It's currently on mid-season, but new episodes should be returning on July 12th, if everything goes well. And you can also catch the podcast on lowbiasgaming.net/squaresim, or just search for Square Wave Symphony in any podcast app that you might be using.
And for myself, you'll find me, of course, in our Pokemon Community Day videos at most... charity events around the city with the Halcon Community Squad. Basically, if you see costumed superheroes at a local event, there's a real good chance that's us. Otherwise, next month will be, like I said, X-Men Dark Phoenix. July will be Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, yeah.
God, I cannot wait for that one. August will probably be a... double feature, as we'll be looking at the live-action Dora the Explorer movie and the upcoming Fast and the Furious spin-off Luke and Hobbs, or as I call it, I'm calling it, Christmas is coming early!
Eye candy!
So with that, we'll see you next time!
Bye, guys!
Don't forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like.